mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can crawl. And you don't want to see inside of my... Chapter 78. Pain. The jagged, broken kind of pain that meant there was something really wrong. What? Where? Not cold, not warm. Wet dragging at his skin and hair and clothing. Salt on his lips, lapping over his face. And a sandpapery bump that brought tears to his eyes as it jarred broken ribs. Oh, hell no! Zuko's hand scythed through the water, a searing froth that boiled and blackened the leopard shark's skin from eye to gills, battering it aside so only the wave of its rush slashed him instead of the teeth. Lots and lots of teeth. I need to get out of the water. It hurt to move, and if it hurt this much when the ocean was holding him up, he didn't want to think about... Don't think, just do. He lifted both hands as much as he could, focusing on the feel of the water around and under him. Pressure, lifting, the uneven sway that wasn't at all like a boat. The leopard shark hit ice, jarring him to the bone. Oh yeah, something's definitely broken. A lot of somethings. Pain was a warning. He'd been warned. Keep moving. Zuko blinked past red flashes in his vision, peering through the cloudy ice cupping him, trying to see where his would-be predator... Another jarring, blinding crash. Don't move, just breathe. The leopard shark circled ice, eye rolling at the broken human somehow out of reach. Focus. Letting his hands sink back into the pool of seawater cupped in ice with him, Zuko lifted them again, not as high as the first time. Passing out would be bad. And again, and again, ice wobbling and steadying under him as it rose through the waves. The leopard shark circled at a distance, blackened gills on one side of it still trying to pump even as a pale wash of blood whispered into the water. Darkness flashed under the surface like lightning. Zuko hissed another scream of curses, fighting off pain as the thump of displaced water wobbled his improvised iceberg. The leopard shark was gone. What the hell? Broken ribs or not, Zuko raised more ice, an inch higher above the water. Two. Something brushed against the layer of frozen seawater beneath him. Slowly. Deliberately. Not good. Dark and sleek like a koala otter's wet fur, sinuous as a dragonfly, despite what looked like a swelling bruise on one side of a thick, furred neck. And teeth. Zuko had a very, very good view of the teeth as the long, noseless snout poked over the edge of his ice, like a zebra seal's, but bigger, each tooth long as his hand, recurved and serrated on the back edge for tearing chunks out of prey still living. Ivory was tinged with a wash of red, glistening as a tongue swept over them and quested outward. Flicking fingers, Zuko raised ice between himself and being tasted, held his breath as pink flesh brushed over frozen water, a shush of fur slipping into water, and it was gone. That was too easy. He couldn't see much in the water past the glint of the sun on waves. He couldn't see that furred, sawtoothed unknown lingering in the water, which didn't mean it wasn't there. He couldn't swear to how big it was. He hadn't seen more than teeth and snout and fur, but it was big, sky bison big, big enough he'd be a few nicely sized bites. It could be waiting. Which would mean it was smart enough to look for food inside ice. Terrific! I'm dead. Not a joke. not a whimper, cold, calculated realization. I'm in the middle of the ocean. I've got no clue where. I've got broken ribs, broken who knows what else. My only float is a chunk of ice, and something wants to eat me. Something with really, really big teeth. He knew those teeth. A kodzate. That's a kodzate in the water. For a moment, his eyes stung with something that wasn't pain. 1,000 years. Over 1,000 years, and Ko hadn't won. Water spirit animals were still out there. They're alive. He wanted to pump a fist at the heavens and shout it to a particular face stealer's face. The walking whales are alive. And this one wanted to eat him. It's not just a walking whale. Not if it was hanging around to tear him into little bite-sized pieces. That wasn't just a kodzate. That was a sea serpent. Of course. What else would I fall into the ocean on top of? No wonder Katara went berserk. She trained as a combat waterbender, not a healer, and she trained fast. The North Pole being what it was, the Avatar being who he was, that meant she trained under Paku. Amaya had had a lot of things to say about Paku. He trains teenagers, not kids. Not people just starting out with waterbending. Amaya had assumed her student knew nothing about waterbending. Firebenders created flames with their chi. They never had a reason to keep some mental distance between their spirit's energies and the element they bent. Amaya had had to teach him that from scratch, like a particularly grumpy toddler. If it grabbed her through the water, Katara didn't stand a chance. Though, at the moment, he was a lot more worried about his own chances. No one's gonna come looking for me. I saw Aang's face when he blew me out of that hall. He's not going to let anyone come looking for the evil firebender who hurt his precious waterbender. Toph would look. Toph would try. But Toph couldn't see in water. She'd never find him. This is all my fault. My own stupid fault. Granted, that scene in the prayer hall had looked bad, if you couldn't sense the wrongness in the ocean. And he was starting to think Aang didn't sense things until they lurched out of the water and tried to strangle him. Then yes, it definitely looked bad. But he still hadn't expected to get blasted off of a cliff. Because you felt like you were in the Fire Nation, Zuko swore silently. Idiot! To Fire Nation eyes, it would have looked like Katara had tried to kill him, and he'd tried to kill her back. Simple, obvious, and a fair fight, meaning nobody with any sense got in the middle of it until someone died or surrendered. Nobody with sense from the Fire Nation. Aang wasn't Fire Nation. Aang was the Avatar. Taruko was right. The Fire Nation can't trust the Avatar. Ever. He'd tried. Because not even a fire sage like Shiyu could teach a firebender if he didn't trust his student. He'd tried. Bad mistake. Bad enough to get him killed. And he did not want to die here. His people needed him. His family needed him. And Toph would be sad. Get real. Toph would kick your ass and start yelling about how stupid it is for a waterbender to drown. An angry Toph was a scary, scary thought. She knew about spirits. She'd find a fire sage to drag him back. Some far-off ghost watch, just so she could kick his spirit's ass. And that is not going to happen, Zuko said under his breath, glared out at the waves. That might or might not be hiding a monster. You hear me, Twi? I am not going to die here. My nation isn't Zhao. My nation isn't Sozin. You want me dead? You're going to have to come and get me. Silence. Only the slap of waves, the quiet creaks of ice and warmer water. I'm not going to die, Zuko breathed. Maybe you'll kill me, but I'm a son of fire, and I will not surrender. Steadying breath, and... ow! First things first. Ribs. Zuko winced again as salt stung, cracking lips. And then, fresh water. Still cracked, Zuko judged, feeling along half-healed ribs with water-wrapped fingers. Not good, but not as bad as it was. He was out of the water now, clothes wrung dry with a flutter of fingers. Seawater stole your body heat a lot faster than air. Even without a sea serpent waiting to snack on him, staying in the water would have been a slow death. Though he'd separated out some fresh water to rinse off before he'd put dry clothes on. Even months later, the memory of the sores eaten into his skin by seawater and all the little lives in it was vivid, ugly, and almost as painful as watching corpses drift by their raft. 3 weeks adrift with sea vultures circling had taught him more ways the ocean could kill him than he had ever wanted to know. The sea doesn't care if you live or die. The sea just is. If you pay attention, if you do everything right, maybe it won't kill you. Yet. So, rules of survival. Shelter, water, fire, and food. Shelter? Check. Not the best shelter. Drifting on ice in these waters meant he had to keep reinforcing it as it melted. But it definitely beat drifting like a log in the current with a kadzate snaking through the water. Speaking of, water. Check. He currently had quite a bit pooled in a hollow in the ice, which was a much, much better situation than he'd been in the last time he'd been lost at sea. So long as he could concentrate enough to bend water away from everything else, thirst wasn't going to kill him. And fire, check, as long as his chi held out. Shouldn't be a problem if the sun comes up soon. Zuko craned his head back to eye the constellations through thin patches of cloud. Midsummer, if the Manriki Gusari is that high over the horizon... and the Komanriki is raised for the kill. Ah, hell. It's not even midnight yet. Not good. But if he could see the Komanriki's haft, then he knew where north was. If he could put that together with the direction of the current... ice shuddered under him. Red sparks of pain flashed in his vision. Yeah, don't think starving is going to be my main problem. After a while, it got into a rhythm. Thump, pain, reinforce the ice. Thump, pain, reinforce. But rhythms were good, no matter how painful. Rhythms let part of your brain handle surviving on automatic, while the rest of a terrified mind tried to sit on panic and think. Lost at sea, nobody knows where I am, going to die. Stop that. Okay. The key problem here was lost. So, how did he get unlost? There's the Komanriki. That's north. So I got blown off the east side of the southernmost of the Temple Islands. Blown off by unstoppable winds fueled by an airbender's fury. All an avatar's fury turned on him. Aang isn't here. Zuko stuffed that nightmare back into a box and studied the glory of stars above, diamonds scattered above the black silk of thickening clouds. I was blown east, then washed out by the tide. I don't know where I am exactly, but it doesn't matter. I wasn't out that long. I can't be more than a few miles out. Probably. What I need to know is, am I still in an offshore tide, or am I all the way out in the black current? He pulled up some of the ice into a thin shield against the wind and broke off more in curved fragments, hugged one arm against the worst of his ribs, and threw. A scattering of white ice thumped into the waves, bobbed almost under the surface, rose up, and started drifting. Zuko licked a finger and checked the wind, waited. Thump. Ow, damn it! It's gone all the way around my iceberg, Zuko realized. Bet it's gonna try something else this time. Gah! Ice sloshed into water underneath him, soaking his shoes before he could jump aside. The translucent tunnel of water bored deeper, down to where a suddenly visible head was directly under where he'd been standing, massive tongue fluttering to bend ice back into flowing sea. Zuko bared his teeth and snapped a dart of flame down. Steam geysered back up. Ice shuddered with a terrible moan as a howl seemed to shake through his bones. Balancing on wobbling ice, Zuko snapped his arms out in a push to freeze the hole. Pain whiting out the world. Grit his teeth and lurch through pushing wave. North, south, east, and west. Solid ice sheeted out over the waves, locking in scattered fragments. It won't melt through that in a hurry. Zuko breathed shallowly, waiting for the sea serpent's next move. Uh-huh. Current's going mostly north. Looks like I am in the black current. On the one hand, that was reason for panic, heading north into empty, colder water. On the other, he hadn't been in the water that long. The black current was strong, but not fast. Given time, yes, it would get him to treacherous, uninhabited waters. But right now, it could be one of his best allies. The current pushes north past all the Western Air Islands. For the next few days, I'll be heading past land. I just need to get to it. A spray of breath, turning to icy fog and the cloud-dimmed night. Sparkles of it drifted roughly southward, quiet as mist, shaping an arced wall of ice at a right angle to the strengthening wind. Zuko rolled his eyes. If you're trying to be ominous, it's not working. Dark fur slipped under the water, not even a ripple left behind. Oh, right. You don't know where I am, so I could be anywhere. Come on. Zuko raised his voice. My little sister was scarier than you when she was six. Ice cracked, webbed claws tearing it to long gashes of seawater with a flex of one massive paw. That's where I thought you were, Zuko murmured, clasped his hands together in front of him, twisted a fast figure eight left and pushed forward. Shards of ice exploded outward. Some were blocked by fur and hide, poofing into harmless snowfall. Others? In the webs between claws, shards drew blood. Get lost! Zuko yelled, as the sea serpent yanked back its paw with an indignant squeal. You want me out of your waters? Fine. I want me out of your waters. Go find someone else to gnaw on. Predators don't like to get hurt. Why the hell is it still wasting time with me? Obviously, he hadn't made himself a painful enough meal. Yet. Or it really is a sea serpent. Long Shui had said they were supposed to be like dark dragons, just as alien to human ways of thinking, and just as smart. Which means it holds a grudge. Not because I hurt it, because I'm alive. And I'm not alone. Except he was alone. Just a speck of life lost in the ice and currents. No one to search for him. No one to help him. Only himself and the waiting hunger of the sea. Zuko stopped himself before he'd gone two steps towards the water, dragging sanity back like a lead chain. Toph would look for me if she could. And it didn't matter that she couldn't. She was out there, and she cared. He was not going to disappoint the blind bandit by giving up just because of one measly little ocean. He'd done this before. He could do this. But not alone. Zuko planted a hand above his knee before he could take another step and glared at the waiting water beyond the edge of ice. Oh, that's you. He smirked, no matter how badly his nerves had tied themselves in knots. I thought I was just having a bad night. Deliberately, he turned his back and stalked back towards the ice shield. 3, 2, 1. Years of baiting Azula paid off. He dropped and spun before the lurch of ice that heralded an angry sea serpent clawing its way up out of the water like a zebra seal. Bad idea. Chest and lungs felt like he'd been implanted with flint shards, but the spray of deadly ice needles sailed harmlessly over his head, and he had just enough breath to lift his right hand and snap it outward. The fire whip slashed out and up, scoring a long black sear down his enemy's snout. The sea serpent jerked its head back and left, limber neck shifting its head away and spearing ice up to impale Zuko's arm. Something in furred muscles seemed to seize. The ice spears melted even as they trapped cloth, drips turning to summer melt that sheeted across the berg and down, dropping the sea serpent back into the ocean with an indignant squeal. It couldn't move its neck through the form. Zuko got to his knees, breathing shallowly, smoothing air with fingertips to seal the hole with a sheet of opaque ice, black in the dark before dawn. He still felt that pressure of alone and despair, but he'd fought through worse nights. That bruise has to be recent. It's still getting worse. It fumbled the form, so it melted the ice instead of spearing me. What the heck could have tangled with something that big? The answer smacked him like a meteor, and Zuko started to snicker. Oh, it hurt to laugh, but he had to. He got you, too. Fury all but bubbling up from the sea. He did, Zuko smirked, dragon sharp. There you were, having fun twisting Katara around your schemes. Then the whole sky caves in. Another careful, shallow snicker. Avatars and stone walls. No wonder great-grandfather built the new place based on wood. He tried not to giggle. You know the funny part? He didn't even know you were there. Fury, pain, hatred like a drowning wave. Zuko clung to the reality of cloth sleeves under his fingertips and fire in his core. He wasn't aching in the water. He was not alone, cast out, not of the pod. Claws and tails poised to slash the ocean against him, water roiling as elder females held back a young dam, yowling her loss. Oh, the taste of tender flesh had been so sweet. Sick, Zuko breathed, staring up at the fading milky river of stars, just barely visible through the clouds scuttling across the sky. Common sense said that he shouldn't take his eyes off the water, but his last bout of drifting had taught him he needed to look at something beyond the disaster he was in the middle of, or he'd dive right into panic. With a sea serpent gouging at his mind, he couldn't afford to panic. Sick and stupid. Even Azula wasn't that crazy. What did you think they were going to do after that? Ignore it and let you stay? Something dragged at the ice like a thousand grasping hands. Drowned. But if there were drowned in the water, they'd be coming after me by now, not just grabbing the ice. It was still too dark, too long before dawn to see the water as more than shifting black. But the scents were different here. Not the clean salt of deep ocean water. More of a tang of sea wrack, decaying kelp blades broken loose and drifting. Yes! Something was dragging at the ice. Something even the keenest eyes couldn't spot from the water's surface. You had to be underwater, deep under, or crow's nest high above it, looking through blue waves 40 and more feet down, where the sun's heat barely touched. In colder seas, kelp grew to the surface. In Fire Nation waters, it stayed deep. But the kelp's holdfast needs to get some light. It can't be more than a few hundred feet down. I'm in the shallows. If I can just keep the ice angled so the wind pushes me east. Wind hurled the downdraft that meant storm, rain pouring down in torrents that twisted sea and ice and sky into one. Screaming blackness rolled his spirit under. You hope, you dare to hope, to believe in human pod that only deserves death. Die, die, die! Blinded, soaked, heart racing with terror, Zuko pulled his chi out of the water. All of it. Breathe. Have to breathe. Have to center. Ah, yes. Water splashed, one massive limb surfacing, shaking water off fur. A low rumble, a waft of cold air. Zuko blinked rain out of his eyes to see a third of his iceberg slide away, cut razor clean by one flick of claws. Oh, hell! He scrambled through gusts of rain as the berg moaned and shifted, lightened side shuddering up and out of the water. The Kadzate flicked its snout, melting an ice chunk on the opposite side to send his shrunken haven rolling back the other way. Cute, Zuko snarled, slipping and gripping slick wet ice to try and center himself over the largest lump left. Just like Azula, only worse. Azula tortured things to make sure Ozai never forgot his favored child. This creature tormented just for the pain, because there were bonds that should have held a Kadzate, heart ties of love and family, every sane being counted on to survive. And this male just didn't have them. He's not sane. He's going to keep hunting humans, hunting waterbenders. And after he's done with me, he'll go back after Katara and Aang. The Avatar's mind, pulled under by a sea serpent's hate. Kesik all over again. He could almost hear Ko laughing. Ice shivered. Yet another shred of safety calving off into the rippling ocean. He's a Kadzate, Zuko thought, scrambling grimly back to his knees. A miracle, but I can't let him get away. Calm welled up in him like lava. He couldn't use water. The few knives he still had on him likely wouldn't get through the sleek fur, much less the hide and blubber armoring the Kadzate's vitals. He'd used up most of his chi just surviving, and in the middle of the damned ocean, there was no fire to pull from. Yes, there is. It was raining and he was about to die again. But this time, he wasn't chi blocked. Probably won't work, but a little less ice and I'm dead anyway. Your name! Zuko roared as yet another avalanche of ice melted and slid away. You called me a snow child? Then I swim under the moon's light just like you do. I want the name of the swimmer who would slay me. A furred tail fin slapped the water. Three harsh cracks. No pod, no name. Die. Calm, like a pool of waiting lava, like the unseen sparks that cling to every drop of rain, cold fire flowing from the storm for any with the heart to feel it. He swept his arms as if casting a net, gathering shreds of lightning, the ancient way, the dragon's way. When the first clans went to war in storms, and a twist of wings separated the quick from the dead, you first! Thunder split the sea. Teeth drifting in dark water. Don't want those near me. Rational thought seemed to pop in and out like a loose tooth. He was in the water. That wasn't good. near something dead, which also wasn't good. Fade out. Squawks and clicks. A pressure bobbing him back to the surface. Wind out there? Okay, breathe. A distant crack thump. Sails catching wind. The rising sun gave him a spark of energy, enough to see shadows on stormlit water and billows of wet cloth rising against the sky. What color are the sails? How do I fix this? Katara huddled against the cliff wall, arms pulling her knees to her chest as the first rays of sun peeked through the storm, painting the seas below. It was beautiful up here, even now with half the hall in ruins. I'm supposed to be holding us all together, not ripping us apart. I'm supposed to be the responsible one. Except she was afraid that was exactly what had gotten Zuko killed. Katara tucked her chin to her knees, testing that painful thought. She was the responsible one. She kept Aang grounded when he just wanted to fly away and have fun. She was the one who told them all what was right. And Aang let me. She swallowed hard. Because figuring out what's right is hard. And Aang doesn't do hard. Aang's a kid. And taking care of kids was her life. Except for waterbending. Gran-Gran had made that clear for years. So when yet another kid was dumped in her lap, and Aang was so hopeless at surviving on his own, he couldn't be anything else. She'd just taken over. He let me decide what was right, and I was wrong. So now Aang was rooms away, buried in Appa's fur, and Toph was hiding with a ghost, and Sokka was... Hey, sis. She looked up, throat tight. Sokka? Sword sheathed over his shoulder. Sokka stood over her, face grave. Sighed and went down to one knee, arms open. She clutched his tunic, burying her face in his shoulder. I'm sorry. I made an awful mistake. I'm sorry. I gotcha, sis. Sokka said quietly. I'm not going anywhere. Toph, Aang was out there in the dark. Toph's dug into a wall, and I told Aang not to go near her. Sokka reported. Aang finally figured out you were serious about the tides washing anything that might have made it through the fall out to sea. He tried to drag me out on Appa to look some more, but she showed up with a sword, and woof, I didn't catch everything he said. But there was something in there about Kuzon and faces turned away. Whatever it is, Aang looks like somebody smacked him over the head with a boulder. Which, you know, I kind of wish I'd done a while ago. He took a deep breath. I've still got Zuko's maps. It won't be easy, but if she was in Boiling Rock, we can get him out. It was like a boulder thrown into her gut. Sokka, you don't understand. Aang and I, we can't go on like this. No, we can't, Sokka said flatly. But what you and Aang and all of us have to fix between us doesn't change what we have to do for everyone else. The Fire Lord's still out to take over the world. The Face Stealer's still after humans. We don't get to quit just because it turned into a disaster. We're responsible for people. That's how the Water Spirit got me. She didn't want to say this, but she had to. I'm supposed to be responsible for my tribe, my family. I'm supposed to help people who need me, to protect them. And it made me think... Sokka almost said something, shook his head, and waited. Katara winced. It made me think I had to protect you from Zuko. Sokka let out a slow breath. Why? His tone wasn't accusing, as he waved at the room, just curious. What did he do that made you think we couldn't trust him? Nothing. Katara rubbed at the goosebumps on her arms. It felt like the words had thorns as she tore them out of her throat. He didn't do anything. He was just here, looking at the prayer hall like he cared. The same temple where his great-grandfather killed everyone. Sokka fingered the end of his wolf tail, obviously thinking over the best thing to say. Except Fire Lord Sozin didn't kill everyone here. And you know why. Tamul, Kuzan, I know. Katara gritted her teeth. But it didn't matter. He didn't even act ashamed. And then he lied about one of his great-grandfathers being Avatar Roku. He wasn't lying. She stared at her brother. Sozin and Roku used to be friends, remember? Sokka reminded her. Aang saw that in Roku's vision. And Roku's family didn't know what happened to him. They just knew he was gone. So later, when Sozin had a son, Ila married him. Fire Lord Ozai, Iroh, Azula, they're all Roku's grandkids. And great-grandkids. No way. That's... Katara shuddered. Azula is the Avatar's... Yeah, Sokka sighed. I knew about that. I guess Zuko thought you knew it too. And that's my fault. I should have talked to you about Roku's family. We should have talked about a lot of things. But we didn't because... His shoulders slumped. I was ashamed. I couldn't protect you guys from Tamul. All I could do was give her another target. That sent ice spiders down her neck. Sokka, what did you do? When we're in the Fire Nation, Tamul shows up at night. Sokka said bluntly. She teaches me. When you guys aren't around. The same way Master Piandao would if he could be there. Mostly by kicking my butt. He admitted. I didn't want you to know. She'd liked Master Piandao. She wished they could have stayed longer, for Sokka's sake, even if there was a cranky ghost hanging around. But the Avatar couldn't stay in one place for too long. And she knew enough about the great names now to know that one traveling around the Fire Nation with them would have made Aang an even bigger target. And all of Xu Jing would have been in trouble with the Fire Lord. Domain lords aren't like chiefs, but they're still supposed to be responsible for their people. So the cranky ghost is training Sokka instead. Katara wanted to rub at a headache. Why does that seem like the Fire Nation all over? Still, she gave her brother a look in askance. Me or Aang? Kind of both. Sokka shrugged. She doesn't like Aang, and don't know if you've noticed, but Aang doesn't like things he can't bend out of his way. Katara swallowed. I noticed. She tried not to shiver. Is that why you didn't tell Aang Zuko's a waterbender? Sokka whistled. You saw that, huh? Not just a trick of her eyes. How... It's not possible. It is, Zuko said bluntly. I figured it out the other day, and I've been kicking myself for not putting it together after we met Long Shui. Toph told us Li was a waterbender. She knew. That hurt. Why didn't she tell us? Why didn't you show Aang that firebender's helmet way back at the Southern Temple? Sokka said pointedly. I didn't want him hurt. We knew what it was like to lose people to the Fire Nation. And there wasn't anything he could do. It happened so long ago. Katara swallowed, thinking about that snowy cliffside. And what had happened afterward. That didn't work out so well, did it? I don't know. Maybe it did. If he'd gone all glowy eyes, windball of doom out there, where we didn't have much to duck behind... It might have been bad. He rubbed the back of his neck. Though, man, if I'd known he could do that, I might not have jumped into that airball game. Getting thumped off posts is one thing. Facing down a tornado? Not my idea of a good time. Right, the airball court. Katara smiled, remembering happier times. I was so glad you were there. Even if you were my annoying big brother, you really helped him feel better. Except, Aang feeling better had come from walking right over her brother, who didn't know the rules, who couldn't airbend. Like Toph, who'd been blasted out of the ring, losing her championship and her pride to an attack she literally couldn't see coming. Like Zuko, who'd been so busy trying to save the both of them from the thing in the water, he never had a chance to protect himself. Sokka was holding her shoulders, bracing her as she covered her face in her hands. Katara, tell me what's wrong, please. Katara took one deep breath, another. Toph was right. Yeah? Sokka's eyebrows were up, confused. Not just because of me, Katara admitted. I would have been upset. I am upset, but... She hunted for the right words. Aang would have been worse. He's used to being special. Oh, this wasn't easy. Like I was. Katara, you are special. Sokka told her, not a trace of goofiness on his face. You're just not perfect. Who is? He sighed. Don't know if it helps, but pretty sure Zuko would have told you he wasn't special. A Fire Nation prince stuck as a waterbender? The spirits couldn't have messed him up worse if they tried. She gave him a disbelieving look. Sokka let go, one finger drawing a little circle in the air. Turn it around. How would you feel if you started throwing sparks? He grimaced. How would the whole tribe feel? Katara shivered. Even imagining it made the floor want to drop out from under her. I would have felt tainted, she got out. But Aang would never understand that. He's the Avatar. He's supposed to bend other elements. That's what all his teachers told him. The one person in all the world who can bend all the elements. That makes him special. She met her brother's eyes. You keep telling him he's special because he's Aang, not because he's the Avatar, but I don't think he believes you. I think part of him's scared to believe me. Sokka looked at the stone rubble, where copper domes had hung. If he's special because he's Aang, then that means he's different. Because he's Aang, not the Avatar. And the Air Monks? I don't think they did different too well. Harmonious Accord, ugh. He grimaced. So yeah, I didn't ask Zuko if he could waterbend, and he never said he could. We kind of agreed to keep it quiet. Blue eyes rolled skyward. I should have known better. Spirits always find a way to get you when you try something like that. Katara shook her head. Sokka, spirits don't try to get you. Her brother raised an eyebrow, which was so much like their father doing it, it just wasn't fair. Hey, bye, Sokka said plainly. Wan Chi Tong, red octopus spider things that go after stray earthbenders. Whatever went after you last night... Let's not even get into drowned zombies and one really cranky volcano. And the painted lady... He cut himself off, face haunted. I thought we'd lost you. I thought this was going to end up just like Grand-Grand's story about the ghost wife dragging her whole family down with the net her husband found her bones in. But that was just a story, Katara almost said. Except the Avatar had been a story too. She'd trespassed on a river spirit's name. And just like Grand-Grand's story said, if you took something from the spirits and they didn't like it, you'd be lucky if all they did was slap you. But I didn't mean to. I made a mistake. Stone grated on stone as another bit of shattered rock fell into the void. Do you think the spirits care? Katara asked, voice low. If we make mistakes? Her brother looked at her, and broken stone and sighed. I think some of them care. The painted lady tried to let you go as soon as she could. Yue, she tried to help all of us, right? And the past avatars have tried to help Aang, kind of. Though somebody needs to tell Kyoshi that maybe all the truth all the time isn't the best policy when we're trying not to get boiled in oil. Oof, yeah. Avatar Kyoshi had been impressive enough to scare a whole army into running. Except Kyoshi hadn't stuck around, and a 12-year-old airbender convinced of his own innocence wasn't going to impress anyone into admitting how idiotic their laws were. Some of them care, Sokka repeated. But some of them can't figure humans out with a map and a compass. It took the Avatar for Hei Bai to get that a bunch of villagers didn't burn down his forest. What would have happened if Aang had still been an airbender-sickle? Or even if he'd been like Roku, living on some backwater island with his family, weeks away from where the trouble was. We got lucky. They got lucky. Sokka looked at shattered stone and shook his head. Aang's used to bouncing around the world and always ending up in the right place at the right time, to tossing his bending around everywhere and getting lucky. He glanced at her, face quiet and sad. How many Zukos do you think are out there, sis? How many people who just aren't lucky? You always told me a real warrior doesn't depend on luck, Katara objected. Aang's not a warrior, and he never wants to be. That means he's got to be even better, Sokka stated. A good swordsman can kill somebody. It takes a great swordsman to disarm them without killing. If Aang wants to never kill anybody else ever again, then he can't depend on luck. He's got to be good, and he's got to be careful, and he's got to start thinking before he blasts things all over the place. Sokka snapped out a hand toward the ruined pillars, the same kind of sharp motion Katara had seen Zuko use to deflect Azula's flames. Or does he think the Fire Lord's going to stand on the edge of a handy cliff? Oops, sorry, I didn't mean to kill anybody, but boy, isn't it a good thing he's dead? Well, wouldn't it be? Katara challenged him. Wouldn't it be for everyone? Not for Aang. Her brother's eyes were hard but sad. Think about it, sis. I don't want to. But not thinking about her own hate, about why she'd suddenly wanted Zuko dead, had hurt her family enough already. She was responsible. She could do this. Katara swallowed, mouth dry. He'd be lying to himself, she said in a small voice. He'd say he tried to do the right thing when he just took the easy way out. But he's a kid, Sokka. He shouldn't have to do something this hard. He's a kid, Sokka agreed heavily. That's why he has to do it the hard way. He's the Avatar. Like it or not, want to be or not, he is the Avatar. If the guy who can call up the power of the whole world always takes the easy way out, spirits, we'd be better off stuffing him in a metal box with Bumi and taking on Ozai ourselves. It'd be awful, it'd be ugly, but Aang wouldn't be lying to himself about what he did and didn't do. He winced. Once you start lying like that, where do you stop? She chafed her arms for warmth, fingers rubbing against skin and leather. Do you think you can stop lying now? Katara, that's... Darn it. Sokka looked aside, guilty. Okay, you got me on that one. It's just, what's Dad gonna say? Timul adopted me. I don't think he's going to want to share with a ghost. Dad, Katara said confidently, is going to march right up to that ghost and tell her to stop taking things that don't belong to her. Then we can all argue about it. She nodded, decisive. A good master cares about his students. If she's as good a teacher as you say she is, she'll talk to him. Probably more like growl, snarl, and humph, Sokka said wryly. Are you okay? If you don't know how to fight with a sword, then in the invasion... She didn't want to think about it. I don't think it's right, but I'll yell at her later. Sokka looked at her in askance. Wasn't what I was talking about. No, Katara said at last. No, I'm not. I wanted this to be like the stories. The Avatar comes back and saves us all. But Aang's not like the stories. He's just a guy trying to do the right thing, Sokka agreed. Like the rest of us. And sometimes, even when we're trying, we really screw up. He raised his brows in a look of mock surprise. Even you. Gee, thanks, Katara said dryly. Yeah? Sokka's grin had just a little hope to it. Yeah, Katara sighed. She felt the weight of the world lighten just a little. I kept trying to do everything just right, Sokka. I worked so hard on my bending, and Aang makes it look so easy. And then Master Paku said I had to train him. Master Piandao said, when you're in the middle of a fight, you don't have time for perfect, Sokka reminded her. You do it as well as you can, and you try to stay alive, and you hope the people fighting with you have your back, because you're going to screw up somehow. Loose rocks on the field, earthbenders out of nowhere, fog rolls in and nobody can see 3 inches in front of their face. Things happen. He shrugged. You're not perfect. Aang's not. We'll deal. He took a deep breath. Come on. We've got to talk to an earthbender about breaking into a prison in the middle of a caldera. A prison with chi blockers. Are you sure we should? Katara asked, heart hurting. Zuko was going to be with us, and whatever was out there. We'll make it work, Sokka shrugged and gave a stubborn smile. Even if everything else goes wrong, I'm pretty sure there won't be any water spirits to go after you in a volcano.